Take your Bibles now. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians, right after the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter number 1 this morning. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. We will be reading responsively this morning, verses 21 through verse 31. I'll begin reading in verse 21. You'll join me on verse 22. We will do that all the way through verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. The Bible says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." And join me together now in verse number 31. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for a place that we can come, Lord, a place of healing, Lord, a place of comfort, Lord. So many broken hearts in this room this morning. Lord, there is no way that one man could meet the needs of everybody in this room. Holy Spirit, we rely on you this morning, Lord, to speak to our hearts, to encourage and to strengthen us. We yield ourselves to you. Fill our spirit, fill our preacher with your spirit as he preaches. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. I want to preach to you today. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 1. Kind of want to testify for our church and show you where we've been and show you where we're headed and show you how we're going to get there. But I want to use the Word of God and launch into it, but I must start with a little history of our church. God has blessed Grace Baptist Church. He's blessed us way beyond measure in the last 7 years. I told a preacher this morning, you know, if God chose to never bless this preacher in this church again, we've been blessed far beyond most churches. Yes. We met in the hotel conference room over at the Holiday Inn, not knowing what to expect. Grace Baptist Church was started. Obviously, God was there. Yes. May I say something? 7 years later, he's still here. Yes. He's still here. Every day of my life, I say, God, please, put your hand upon us. Would you just let us know your presence is with us? Oh, we went from that hotel room to sometimes it wasn't available and go across town to another hotel room. Then sometimes we were back at the other hotel one morning in the morning in one hotel and at the night at another hotel. Then we grew and did you ever try to preach with about 4 or 5 crying babies? Not only is it preaching hard, but listening's even harder. So we started renting an extra room and had a nursery set up. And then we, after about 3 months, decided we were able to have enough here early enough to start Sunday school and rented several. I mean, we had hotel rooms rented everywhere. It was great, let me tell you. There was times we showed up to the hotel and they overbooked and they said we didn't have a room. And I said, oh, yes, we do. They would move us from one place to another. We were setting up and tearing down. We had a portable piano we were bringing in. We had our own song books. We had, you know, all the stuff that you need for church. We were picking it up and moving it. I mean, we were like the Jews in the wilderness. we just followed the cloud, and people called me, okay, preacher, which one tonight? And it was literally that way. We went soul winning from day one. The Saturday before we started soul winning. Brother Mike, there's not been one seven-day period in 7 years where we've not seen somebody saved. We've had over 2,600 people saved out soul winning. We've had almost 400 people walk the aisle for salvation in the church services and things. 3,000 people saved in 7 years. Do you realize that that is an average of over one person every day for 7 years straight? Kind of reminds you of the verse in Acts chapter 2 where it says that the church had daily such as should be saved. God has truly blessed our church. And I want to say right here, to God be the glory for all of it. To God be the glory for all of it. This is not my church. This is God's church. Folks, if you think I'm the pastor, you're misled. Now, I know the sign says it, and I know our gospel tracts say it, but God's the pastor here. I'm just his assistant. We're just doing what he said. I'm just following orders from headquarters. That's what my job is. I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to do what God said. Now listen to me very carefully here. We're all sinners. We all stand in need of help. Nobody is perfect at Grace Baptist Church. You say, well, I'm visiting and I know somebody in your church, and I happen to know they're a sinner. Guess what? They're looking at you saying the same thing. Because you're a sinner too. And if you saw Brother Randy, you know he's a bad sinner. All right? He's so bad he lost all the hair on his head. Now wait a minute. We're all sinners. Life is hard because we're sinners. Let me say this, and I want you to get this very carefully here. God doesn't make life hard. Our sin makes life hard. God doesn't give you a hard time. Life gives you a hard time because we're sinners. We have to receive sowing and reaping of sin. Not just our sin, but sins of others. Everybody doing okay? Well, I don't think it's fair that God let... Wait a minute. How fair is it for us to sin against him? Before you point your pharisaical finger at God, how about you look at the three looking right back at you? You see, God didn't sin. We did. As pastor of this church, I need to tell Grace Baptist Church something. I am more interested in pleasing God than pleasing man.
That's good.
Our church did not go out and take a poll and find out what everybody wanted in a church and try to shuffle it all together and give us what the whole community wanted. I'm not real interested in that kind of church.
Amen.
You say, why? Because that's not how God said do it.
Right.
Matter of fact, when Jesus started the church in Matthew chapter 16, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word church itself means called out assembly. We're not supposed to bring the world into the church to reach the world. We're to come out of the world, be separate from the world, go to the world and get them and bring them to the church. If I say this often, the church is now more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. You go back and look at the album covers of the Beatles, they do better than most of the Southern gospel groups of today. And America was upset at the haircuts of the Beatles. Everybody doing okay? Good night. You go to the average church in America, I don't care what the name on the sign is, they got more rock music there than the Beatles ever played. I don't care what society says. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
I have no trouble figuring out what bathroom I need to use. From the time I could walk, my dad taught me which one to use. It was very clear. You go out to the farm, it doesn't take long to figure out which ones are the cows and which ones are the bulls. You wonder, you take a milk bucket and try milking the wrong one. You'll find out real fast. You check the plumbing before you start pulling on it, amen? Otherwise, you're not going to pull anything but posies right through the dirt. You say, why? Animals have more sense than human beings at times. Everybody doing okay? I'm not real interested in pleasing society, just so you know. I'm more interested in pleasing God. Not real worried about pleasing the religious people of our day. I've met enough of them yard birds. I don't want to be like that. Good night. Can you imagine me preaching in a dress? First of all, ain't no man should be wearing a dress. And you're not supposed to wear your bathrobe in public, amen? At least that's the way I was taught. So if you're not to wear a dress and not wear your bathrobe, and the way I preach, man, that thing would be indecent exposure up over my head before too long. We call him El Papa, and he dresses like Mama. Everybody doing okay? How about we just use the only book God ever wrote to man and build his church on it?
That's good.
7 years ago, I promised a group of people in the Holiday Inn conference room that this preacher would build a church and he would stay true to that book right there. Well, 7 years later, look around. We're still doing it. And we're still seeing God bless. Say, preacher, not everybody. I'm not interested in everybody. This is the Grace Baptist Church. This is what Grace Baptist Church is all about. By the way, that's why there's more love, more warmth, more sincerity, and more friendliness here than anywhere probably you've ever been. Amen. Say why? Because we're doing it God's way, not man's way. Let me ask you a question. How do you improve God? How can you improve God? Then why does everybody want to write their own Bible? Because man doesn't want to do what God says. We don't need another version. We just need to reread the old one. Everybody doing all right? A version is man's interpretation. I hold in my hand the King James Bible, not the King James Version. It is the only one given to man. I'll get to that in just a little while here. No. This church is not like any other modern church. We don't have TV screens and follow the bouncing ball. I'm not going to be on TV. We're not on YouTube. We're not on, what's the Twitter and Facebook? You're not going to follow me on Twitter. I'm not a bird. Amen? I believe in Facebook, but not the kind that you're on. I believe you ought to have your face in the book instead of being on the stupid computer. Now, let me say this. We started out to please God. He blessed. Why would we change it? Why would we want to change what God said? I can't improve on God. I can't improve on His Word. By the way, I can't improve on the plan that's in His Word. We don't need a bunch of cute modernism things filtering into church. We just need to go back to the old-fashioned King James Bible and do it the way God said do it. I'm going to give you about a 3-minute Bible study, and then I'm going to cut loose and preach for about 20 minutes. God tells us here in 1 Corinthians 1 that the Jews and the Greeks will call a church like ours foolish or a stumbling block. Now watch this. The Jews would be the religious crowd of our day. Notice they wanted a sign. Did you ever notice how spooky religious people are? Woo-hoo! We got to have a sign. Oh, I saw a cloud shaped like this, so this is what God wants for me. I don't know what you've been smoking, but God didn't say that in the book. Well, I just feel like God's leading me to do this. I always say to people, show me in the Bible. He can't work outside the confines of his own word. If it's outside the confines of the word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. Just so you know. Everybody doing all right? I'm not one of these religious hocus pocus kind of people. Oh, just give to Jesus all your money and that's seed money and he'll bring it back to you 100-fold. That's why they're driving cars and living in houses 10 times of what you and I have. You're padding their pockets, but that's not what God said. Everybody doing okay? You see, the Jews would be the religious crowd calling a church like ours a stumbling block. Now watch this. The Greeks then were the highly educated people, calling us foolish. You fundamentalists, you're heavy on the fun, heavy on the damnation, and no mentality. Well, bless God, they go down deep and come up dry. Well, you don't know the deeper things of the word of God. Anybody that has to say God isn't real smart. Just so you know. Say, well, they can use big words. I can use big words too. I can use words like Shane or Joe. Those are big words. Doubt me? Meet them out front. You'll see how big those words really are. Now, wait a minute. Just because somebody can use a big word doesn't mean they're intelligent. I've met enough smart people to know I don't want to be like that. Now, I'm nobody's dummy, but may I say this? Just because you can use words that are over everybody else's heads doesn't mean you're smart and doesn't mean that you know more than anybody else. If you can't bring it down to where everybody can use it, what good was it? Sermon ought to be a greasy wrench. Sermon ought to be able to be gotten by the youngest child in the room as well as the oldest adult in the room. Right, Fred? let's face it. My preacher used to say it this way. Let's put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach it. Now, hang on. Matter of fact, God says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God on his worst day is wiser than any man has ever been on his best day. God on his weakest day has been stronger than any man has ever been in his best day. That's what he says here in verse number 25. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You know what? I'd rather take God on a bad day than man on a good day. Now listen to this very carefully here. Jesus was known by this. The common man heard him gladly. Jesus preached to the common man. He didn't preach to the elites only. He didn't preach just to the poor. He preached to everybody. But the common man heard him gladly. 7 years ago when we started Grace Baptist Church, I promised God that it would be a place where the common man could come and be gladly welcome and could glean from it. Brother Harry, after 39 years of preaching and 30 years of the ministry, I think maybe I could have a Bible study or two that might impress somebody. But what good is that? If you can't use it, why is it impressive? I'm not interested in impressing anybody. Obviously, the way I preach. But may I say this? I'd rather preach so that every person in this room has your needs met today. I look across this room and I see people who have been forsaken. I see people who have been hurt. I see people who have been in battle. I see people who have physical ailments that are lifelong. I see people who've had tragedy. I could go on and on. Why should I try to impress you? How about if I try to help you? My job is not to impress you. My job is to help you. Let me say this. Jesus waxed eloquent as a teenage boy, 12 years old, in the temple. The doctors and lawyers heard him speak and said, "Ooh, man, this kid knows a bunch." Well, he ought to. He wrote it. He knew it better than they did. Church is a place for the common man. There are not many rich people. So if you're going to build a church for rich people, you're not going to have a lot of people to draw from. The poor, but Jesus said, you always have with you. We'll reach them. Not afraid of it. I think we ought to reach the poor. It's our job to reach the poor. But you can't pay the bills with poor people. Please don't get mad at me. Guess what? The poor people don't have anything by which to. Alejandro, I need you to sit down back there. Thank you, buddy. It's all right. That's what we're training. Amen. It's okay. Now listen to this very carefully here. Everyone's a sinner, and everyone has been hurt by sin or by sinners. We all need help. The church, if it's done God's way, will be a place where sinners can go and get their needs met and get the help that they need. Today, I want to show you, we'll kind of push the reset button. Matter of fact, I'm going to stomp it a little bit. Number one, Grace Baptist Church will stand for the preaching of God's word. Unashamedly. Folks, I'm not part of this ear-tickling, back-scratching, soft soap junk that's out there today. If I ever wiggle when I walk, just take me out back, fellas, and shoot me. I have no problem saying that. I'll even give you my gun to do it with. The King James Bible is the word of God. Period. End of discussion. So, well, I've heard from others that there are other good translations. Can I tell you something? Man is not as good as God. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4 says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Can I tell you something? There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. If God's a liar, we're all going to die and go to hell. Shut the church down and let's go make an honest living. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere. For the English-speaking people, folks, it's the King James Bible.
Amen.
Just so you know. Oh, I could go to the Greek and the Hebrew, and I could show you why, and I can go to the Texas Receptus. We say, well, it was perfect in its original. No, it's not only perfect in its original, it is a living word of God. And he didn't say, did you ever notice when Jesus quoted Scripture, he quoted the Old Testament? When he fought the devil, he said, Scripture says. He was quoting the Old Testament. That means the Old Testament's just as much Scripture as the New Testament is. Everybody doing all right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, capital W. And the Word was God, capital W. All the way down to John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. You start messing with the Bible, you're messing with my Savior. I take it that seriously. By the way, when he comes back for us, the Bible says he'll come back and written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. If the Bible is not perfect, we have no perfect Savior. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. We don't need man's interpretation of what God said. God's quite able to say what he meant. When I was a kid and my dad said, you're going to take the trash out. I didn't go to my dad and say, can I have another translation of that? You may have gotten another version of it, but you weren't going to like it. It was the living word of dad.
He had verse 2. Either you take it out with a weapon or you take it out without a weapon. You choose with or without. That was verse 2. It wasn't another Bible. It was just another verse. I didn't need another interpretation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't need another interpretation of God's words. Man's not as smart as God anyway. Man has been guilty of trying to play God since Genesis chapter 3 in the first sin. When Satan came to him in the Garden of Eden and he said, "Wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself? Hey, just do this and you could be your own God just like me." By the way, that's why God doesn't send anybody to hell. We chose it by our sin. Hell was created for the devil and his angels before man was created. But because we committed the same sin, the same punishment by God's justice is required. Did you ever notice Jesus didn't come and die for the devil, but he did come and die for you? Huh. We're going to preach it. We're not just going to teach it. We're not going to exegete it. We're going to teach it and preach it. God said, by the foolishness of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. Brother Jimbo, by the foolishness of preaching, people's lives get saved.
That's right.
By the foolishness of preaching, Brother Larry, Miss Sherry, people get saved. Remember the day Larry and Sherry came, sat right back here in the middle in the old IRS building. I got done preaching. Miss Sherry, boom, down she came. Brother Larry stood there, white knuckled. One of our men walked back and said, "Wouldn't you like to?" And he said, "I would." Walked down with him and got saved.
Amen.
Good night. By the foolishness of preaching, we've seen a whole lot of their family members get saved.
Amen.
Seen a lot of folks get saved. It just takes somebody with a loud enough voice, crazy enough to get up and just tell it everywhere he goes. The Bible is not a history book. Now, it has history to it, but we don't study the Bible like a history book. These churches are out there saying, "Well, you have to know the historical place of the scriptures." I do know the historical place of the scriptures. It came out of the mouth of God before the foundation of the world. Here in 1 Corinthians, it's penned by the Apostle Paul, but Paul wasn't saying it. God was saying it. It's not Paul's words, it's God's words.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? God gave Paul the very words to put down on paper. They were spoken by God. That's why the Bible will say often, "The word of the Lord came unto me saying." Did you ever have the word of the Lord come unto you say? God was telling them word for word what to put down. Say why? Because he couldn't trust a sinful man to put it down himself. Well, it was God putting his thoughts into Paul's brain and then using... No. Our brains are filled full of sin. Everybody doing all right? The Bible's not a math book or an ancestry book of mystery. The Bible is a living, life-giving, bread-winning book. It is breathing. It is alive today. It is as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was 7,000 years ago. It's to be preached to meet needs. Listen to this very carefully. What I'm saying today, some of you may not need today because you already believe it, but there's somebody in this room, you're going to need it someday. You're going to need it someday. You say, "Well, don't you ever exegete the scriptures, preacher?" No. Say why? I followed what Jesus did. If you ever read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus never one time exegeted the scripture. He preached stories. He preached topics. He didn't go word by word, verse by verse, through the book of James for 16 years. That's some man wanting to impress you with how knowledgeable he thinks he is. Everybody doing all right? Every sermon in the Bible is topical. Every last one of them. The Sermon on the Mount. It was not expository. Expository and another suppository sound an awful lot alike, and they're about the same. That's as nice as I know how to say that one. It ought to be preached so the common man can understand it. Now, there are times I'll use sports illustrations. There are times I'll use illustrations for ladies to where they understand, cooking illustrations and sewing and different things that I've used illustrations for. Not every illustration is going to be exactly where you live all the time. But you don't have a problem understanding it. I told a man yesterday, I counseled a man for an hour yesterday on the phone. He's someone that I know asked him to call me, and he's having trouble in his marriage, and for about 5 minutes, I had all I could take. Well, my wife has problems with this, and my wife has problems with this, and she's struggling here, and I said, Doc, hold on, hold it. He said, what? I said, 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I said, it's not what she's doing. I said, let me ask you a question. How's your walk with God? He said, boy, that was pretty bold. I said, he didn't answer my question. He said, because I don't want to. I said, how is your walk with God? He said, pretty bad. I said, I can't fix her. She's not on the phone, but you got a walking with God problem. And for the next 55 minutes, we started talking about that. You say, why? I can't get him in close fellowship with her till he's in close fellowship with him. We get him right this way, we have a better chance of getting us right this way. You struggle with somebody in a love relationship, I'll show you a walking with God issue. Doesn't matter who it is or what it is. But one or both in the love relationship isn't walking with God like they should. Every time. You know, I've never counseled a marriage that was struggling because both people were walking with the Lord. Boy, that's a good statement. Did you know the Bible's not to be preached like a seminary classroom? Thank God. God wants to change your life. He doesn't want to change your notebook. I'd rather you listen to me and not take notes than to take notes and not hear one thing I say. Now, if you want to jot something down from time to time, that's fine. But you got your head down. I don't know what you're writing. Just look at me and listen to the preaching. God will change it. You can listen to it online for free and write your outlines later. Or I'll copy what I got. You can't read it anyway because it's in handwriting. We're going to preach the word of God, whether it's foolishness to the world or not. Number two, next, God says he wants to use anybody and everybody. Bless God, Brother Larry, that makes me excited. I'm an anybody and I'm an everybody. Notice what God says in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound that which is mighty. The base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught those that are. Say, well, preacher, I'm just a nothing I'm just a zero with the ring rubbed out. Well, you might be a zero with the ring rubbed out, but God can still use you. If you're still sucking air, God can use you. Preacher, you don't understand. I've been divorced. So what? There's only two things you can't do. You can't pastor and you can't be a deacon. Past that, everything's wide open. Don't worry about it. Everybody doing all right? Now, that doesn't give you an excuse to go out and get a divorce. I think once you're married, you ought to stay married. Everybody doing okay? There's a way to work it out. But may I say this, if you've had that problem in the past, guess what? God can still use you. I'm going to make some strong statements here. Hang on. God does not want your talent for his glory. He wants you for his glory. Your talent is for you, not for him. Church is not a talent show where people come to impress you with what they are. People need a church like Grace Baptist Church so they can see God work. I'll take my wife standing up here singing with the power of God on her life over some professional singer any day. I'd rather have musicians that are yielded to the Holy Spirit that might not be the quality of the world. Well, bless God, you can't get any higher quality than the power of God. Everybody doing all right? I'll take my wife scared to death to get up here and shaking like a leaf, but she's been out telling people how to get saved and won thousands of people to Christ, cares about people. Can I tell you, this place is a place where God will change lives. I'd rather have a changed life up here than somebody who's polished where they don't even know who God is. Good night. Was it 2 weeks ago, Chris, that you sang? Man, that got a hold of me. You know me. I'm not super duper emotional, get up and can't talk, but it took me a while to get myself back in check. Say why? Because God got a hold of it. Everybody doing all right? You know, God can change a marriage. There are marriages that are together in this room today because you came to this church. God got a hold of you and God changed everything about it. Amen, Brother Donnie? Amen. By the way, He wants to show His Spirit, not ours.
Yes.
About 5 o'clock when I got here this morning, I opened up that door, Brother Jimbo, and I said, Lord, every person who walks through that door today shakes that hand, would they feel Your Spirit, not mine? I want them to know the Holy Spirit of God, not me. It's not me, it's Him. You see, no one, including God, cares about your past. Amen. Who cares about your past?
That's right.
How about your today?
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't know what my past is like. Bless God, get saved, and it's under the blood, and it doesn't matter. Right. Glory to God. Well, I know your son. He's done some bad things. I could give you a list longer than you can. Bless God, it's under the blood. Who cares? Aren't you glad yours is under the blood? Why do you want to talk about somebody else's? This isn't a church where if somebody does something wrong, we're going to stand them up and tell everybody in the church what wrong they did. That's wicked as hell. That's you wanting to play God. How about we just get concerned about going out, knocking on doors, telling people how they can miss hell and go to heaven by getting saved? How about we just go out and invite folks in to bring them in and find out what's going on the inside? How about we help somebody who's hurting today? You know, God wants your willingness, not your talent.
Amen. That's good.
Everybody doing okay? God wants your willingness, not your talent. Now, He'll use your talent. We've got a great, big, beautiful stone sign down here at the front of the property. And as soon as we get that ugly fence up, we're going to get it really dolled up. Can I tell you something? Thank God for the talent, Brother Larry Cole.
Yes,
but he did it because he loves God. Whew. God wanted his willingness, not just his talent. Are you doing okay?
Yes.
Hey, God's better able to show his power when you're not hot snot on a silver platter. If you're a cold booger on a paper plate, God's got a chance. Amen. Folks, I'm not much. I know it. But that's how God can show his power. When I am weak, then is he strong. He said, I'd rather show my strength through your weakness than try to show it through your strengths. God specializes in using outcasts. As the world chewed you up and spit you out, you qualify. Have the religious crowd eaten you alive and spit you out, you qualify. Good night. I got to hurry. I can't say that. Number three, I got to hurry. This is what I really want to end with quickly. God wants the credit for what he does.
Yes, sir.
we should take it from him. Verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, I said it before, I'll say it again. It's his church, not my church.
Yes, sir.
I don't want the glory for it. I don't want God to look at me and say, ah, you're trying to take my glory. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's give him the glory for it. When I win someone to Christ, I don't make the statement, I saved somebody. I didn't save anybody. I can't even save myself. Because all I did is be obedient and take the gospel to them. Soul winning's just getting the gospel out. It's not you saving anybody. It's God. Preacher friend of mine texted me yesterday, Brother Mike, in a distant state. I won't even tell you what state. He said, one of my men got really burdened for his dad to get saved. He said, he's one of those old, tough, backwoods rednecks. I said, does he live in West Virginia? I said, man, I deal with that all the time. He said, he's been praying for weeks for his dad to get saved. He said, we set a time. He said, I went out yesterday morning with this young man to go talk to his daddy. He said, we started talking guns, hunting, started talking this and that. He said, he was like leading a little boy to the Lord. He said, I opened up my Bible and showed him how he needed to get saved. And he bowed his old tough redneck and got saved yesterday. And I said to that young preacher man, I said, young man, you just learned something. I said, you just learned to take somebody with enough boldness to present the gospel. Nobody has ever presented it to him that was tough enough to get through that hard outer shell. Brother Jimbo, your brother was laying there. Miss Loretta said, go see him before he dies, preacher. But he'll probably cuss you out. I was at the parking lot where he was at. And she said, are you sure you're going in, preacher? I said, you told me to. But he might cuss you out. I said, so what? Went in and won your brother to the Lord, Brother Jimbo. Lived for about 2 weeks or so, 2-3 weeks. A guy that chased off more preachers than he ever listened to. By the way, when I walked out that day, he called me his preacher. Miss Sherry, your brother Rick, lived in that trailer right behind you. I remember the day you and Larry both said, preacher, he's going to cuss you out. Going to cuss you out. Matter of fact, brother, my son was with me. Joshua was with me that day. We drove down and got out. I said, Josh, I have no idea what we're going to get into here. He said, it's okay, Dad. We've been cussed out before. I said, yep. He come hobbling to that door with that walker. We started talking for a while. You know, in just about 10 minutes or so, Rick bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Just 6 weeks later or so, went to heaven. Moral of the story is, if you're not saved, don't have me win you to Christ or you might die. No, I'm teasing. I think of Trent Abel. Trent came and I won. Matter of fact, he hadn't even come. And Loretta said, I need you to go see him. I went and won Trent to Christ. He was in hospice. We were having our opening service May 5th right here. Trent got out of hospice the day before because he said, I'm going to church with the preacher. Dying of cancer, walked in, sat back about where Miss Kim's at right now. I think one chair over from that. Too sick to come the next week, but came the following week. Went back into hospice and died after that. Say, what was that? That's the power of God, not me. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Let's give God the glory. Let's give God the credit. You know, we can't get anybody to heaven.
Right.
So all we can do is get them the gospel.
Amen.
By the way, this is why we're not supposed to use man's methods to get the gospel out. Let's use God's method.
That's good.
That's why we're not supposed to use man's methods in the church. We're not supposed to have the world's music in the church. It's to be God's music. We're not supposed to have man's ideas. We're not supposed to be teaching out of philosophy books. We're not supposed to be using man's psychology. We're to be using Bibleology. Everybody doing okay? We're not supposed to be using man's Bible. We're to use God's Bible. We're not supposed to use man's intellect. We're supposed to use God's word. How about we just decide we're going to do God's work, God's way, have God's church where he's welcome here. That means this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved today or you're going to die and go to a place called hell. I don't say that happily. I say that because I don't want you to go there. I can't save you. Some priest can't sprinkle spoofle dust and spray water on you and say your sins are forgiven. You, no man can forgive your sin. Only God can. It has to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. You see, I'm just a sinner like you are. So is every other preacher in the world, and I don't care what religion it is. After you get saved, you should get baptized. Say why? I don't know. God said it. I've been preaching for a long time, and it still doesn't make sense why you got to put a Smurf suit on, get in the water, get dunked. But that's what God said do. It's just an act of obedience. Then I believe you ought to join the church. Think you ought to get involved in a New Testament, local, Bible-believing, soul-winning Baptist church. So why does it have to be Baptist, preacher? Who baptized Jesus? John the
Baptist.
That wasn't his last name. Catholic church didn't start till 313. The only church there ever was is the one Jesus started, and it was started as a Baptist church. Everybody doing okay? I think you ought to get involved in your church. I think you ought to help. Plenty to do. Grace Baptist Church, God wants you to enjoy the church. God wants you to enjoy being here. But I think we ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think we ought to come to Sunday school. I think we ought to be here every chance we can so that we can get closer to him. Hey, this life down here is just practice for heaven. How about we get ready for heaven? Some of you are going to be pretty upset because you're going to be in church an awful lot in heaven. You ought to get used to it now. And God's going to say, nanny, 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 nah, you can't go do anything else. So how about we get ready for it now, amen? You see, he also wants us out there working to build the church. I'm not trying to build the world's largest church. I'm not trying to build the church biggest in this area. I'm trying to reach every person we can reach with the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church. That's what Jesus meant here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. By the foolishness of preaching, he would save them that would believe. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. No moving. Be still, but be honest with yourself for a moment. Who would say, preacher, I know that if I died right now, I am 100% sure, because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. There were maybe some hands that couldn't go up. And I appreciate your honesty. With nobody looking, just myself. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Now listen to me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you. I won't call you by name. Say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. There's one. There's another. Thank you. You may put them down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. If you raised your hand a moment ago and said you weren't sure you're going to heaven, in a moment the piano begin to play. When it begins to play, if you just step out to the aisle, if you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure in a matter of about 2 minutes. If you're a lady, same thing. I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you raised your hand and said, Lord's touched my heart about something, preacher, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and just do business with God? Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized and have not joined the church and you think the Lord would like to have you join this church, how about you come today, join the church? We'd gladly have you. Whatever the need today is.